Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is just classic. We got Caden filling in for Travis this Monday morning as our guest producer, and he picked up the phone. He said, "Hey, caller, what's your name?" Donald Trump Jr. Caller, what would you like to talk about this morning? This is Donald Trump Jr. Anyway, that was classic. But yeah, we got a great surprise phone call from Donald Trump Jr. And I'll share some highlights with you here maybe a little bit later this hour and then tomorrow on the program as well. But I definitely want to free up some time to take your phone calls as well. And I think Senator Steve Daines is going to give us a call here in just a couple of minutes. He's chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. So he's not just keeping an eye on the Senate race in Montana. He's responsible for all the other Senate races across the country and the battleground states as well. And then, yeah, we'll get to your phone calls here, 406-294-0970. First, I recorded this audio off air. Here's part of what I talked about with Donald Trump Jr. that nobody's gotten a chance to hear yet. So John Tester, he impeached your father twice. He talked about punching your father in the face live on CNN, the vicious attack against Ronnie Jackson. Now he's launching these last-minute desperate attacks against Tim Sheehy. Is this going to be one of those races you're going to be watching almost as close as your father's own race on election night?
I am. I've gotten to know Tim Sheehy over the last couple of months. He's a great guy. He's a Navy SEAL. He's a businessman. He's a business owner, and they're going after his business. And it's not like it's a controversial business. He puts out wildfires in the West. I mean, it's amazing that they could do that. And again, John Tester is the number one recipient of special interest dollars in all of Washington, D.C. He's the epitome of the swamp, but he does this pretend farmer. Oh, he's not a farmer. He's a liar. He's full of it. He'll tell you whatever you need to hear, but he votes with Joe Biden 99% of the time. He's going to do the exact same thing for Kamala Harris, and they're going to try to stop my father's agenda from going through. All of the things that we did in my father's first administration that made costs cheap, that made life affordable, that signed peace deals in the Middle East, that kept us out of the never-ending wars, we have a chance to bring that back. But we're not going to be able to do that. Even if my father wins, we're not going to be able to do that if we don't have strong people in the Senate who are willing to push back. If you split that ticket, you're going to have 4 years of the Democrats trying to prevent my father from doing what all of the people in Montana who are going to vote for him want to do. Do not split that ticket. Do not fall for the psyops and the commercials and the hundreds of millions of dollars that Chuck Schumer is spending in Montana to get you to believe that John Tester is a moderate. He's not even close to a moderate. He's a radical leftist Democrat swamp creature. So make sure you're voting for Tim Sheehy in Montana for Senate. Make sure you're voting straight ticket Republican on everything. School boards, take back our country. We have an incredible opportunity, Aaron.
That's right.
A chance to have not just my father, but we have Elon Musk. You have Tulsi Gabbard. You have RFK Jr. on health. We have such an incredible dream team, but they need to be unleashed, and they need strong people like Tim Sheehy in the Senate to be able to help them actually effectuate that change.
All right, hold that thought, Donald Trump Jr. All right, Senator Steve Daines up next.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we'll share some more of that audio of our conversation with Donald Trump Jr. Nice surprise phone call earlier this morning. And now another one, Montana Senator Steve Daines joining us live here on Montana Talks. He's not only your Montana senator looking at this Montana Senate race, he's the chairman of the NRSC, the National Republican Senatorial Committee. Senator, I know I caught up with you briefly last week, but how have the numbers changed? How have the numbers shifted? How are you feeling about all of these Senate races across the country?
Yeah, you know, I did an interview on Fox yesterday with John Roberts and Sandra Smith, and that's exactly the question I got. We sort of unpacked the national map. You look at those Rust Belt, that blue wall states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Aaron, every one of those states now with our great Republican candidates, they've moved into ties on the polling. We are tied in Pennsylvania today with Dave McCormick, another West Point graduate, 82nd Airborne. He'd be a great addition to the U.S. Senate. You go to Michigan, Mike Rogers tied. Mike was the former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, an FBI agent, a great patriot, another veteran, an Army lieutenant, tied in Michigan. You go to Wisconsin, Eric Hovde, we are tied. And these are not numbers I'm spinning. These are numbers I trust, believe in, and see in our internal polls. Every one of these states have are now in tied position with our Senate candidates. They're tracking very close to President Trump's number. So I think we'll see what happens tomorrow. President Trump, if he wins Pennsylvania, he wins Wisconsin, he wins Michigan, I think we've got a shot here with those Senate candidates to be in the end zone. Then you go to out to the Sun Belt, you go out to the Arizona and Nevada races. And every one of these races I'm talking about are races we're trying to beat Democrats. These would be pick-up seats for the Republicans to help President Trump with his agenda back in Washington. In Nevada, where I was just at Saturday, in fact, I was with J.D. Vance and Donald Trump Jr. We did a big rally in Las Vegas with Sam Brown. Sam Brown is the Republican Senate candidate. He's another West Point graduate, severely wounded by the Taliban, by an IED in Afghanistan, burned over much of his body. He's got an incredible story of heroism. He met his wife, who's also a captain in the Army, when she was tending to his wounds at the burn center in San Antonio, Texas. He was literally wrapped in mummified bandages with a feeding tube in his mouth, fighting for his life. This sweet dietitian and nurse named Captain Amy Brown. She wasn't Amy Brown then because they fell in love as he healed up. They were married. They have three children. He's a wonderful candidate, an American war hero. That race now has moved to neck and neck in Nevada, and that's why we're all there in Las Vegas for Sam on Saturday. And then you go to Arizona. That race is tied up with Carrie Lake. She's been down 4 or 5 points. Latest polls now show that within a couple of points. I think Trump's doing well in Arizona. We'll see what happens there. So these are just these big races. It's a once-in-a-generation opportunity for us to pick up these Democrat seats with President Trump at the top of the ballot to ensure that we've got a Senate majority to work with President Trump and not against him.
What a remarkable update there. What a remarkable story. I've heard Sam Brown's story, but I hadn't heard that story about his wife, an incredible husband and wife team, much like Tim and Carmen Sheehy back here in Montana. You said, we've got a shot. You've got a shot at retaking the Senate majority and getting Chuck Schumer out of that Senate majority leader job. And if they can pull off a win in those other states. But the reality is, it's like all it takes is Montana. Montana alone could deliver that massive victory tomorrow.
Well, all eyes are on Montana. Despite the update I just gave you, Aaron, and how we're fighting right now and, you know, hand-to-hand combat, as they say, it's a knife fight in a phone booth across these states, fighting for President Trump, fighting for these Republican Senate candidates. It all comes down to Montana. Tim Sheehy wins tomorrow night. We have reclaimed the majority in the United States Senate. It's as simple as that. It does come down to Montana. We win Montana. We have the majority. We now have a majority that can work with President Trump. If we don't win Montana, there are truly severe consequences for this nation. As we've seen, Kamala Harris break 33 votes as the tie-breaking vote as vice president, losing on these horrible judges like, you know, Ketanji Brown Jackson, who can't even define what a woman is. These are the kind of people who will be on the Supreme Court, on the Circuit Court, on the Federal District Court, lifetime appointments if we don't have a Republican majority to either stop the insanity of the left, but better, to advance President Trump's agenda. We probably will have a couple of Supreme Court nominees during President Trump's next term. Can you imagine if John Tester is back there voting against every one of them? And let me just say this, to be as clear as I can with those who are listening this morning, this is not a personal issue between myself and John Tester. If you notice Tim Sheehy's ads, they are hitting John Tester on his voting record, on the fact he's the number one recipient of lobbyist dollars. It's issue-based. Tester's hits on Sheehy are all personal smears, going finding Democrat partisans that are never Trumpers to get on camera and say terrible things about Tim Sheehy. But here are the facts, Aaron. If you care about the Second Amendment, as I do, as I'm sure virtually every listener is today on the radio show, John Tester received an F from the NRA, Tim Sheehy an A. So check the box in the Second Amendment for Tim Sheehy. Tim Sheehy will vote for President Trump's agenda. John Tester voted to impeach Trump twice. John Tester voted against President Trump's tax cuts. Tim Sheehy will support President Trump's tax cuts. These big, big votes we take are so important. And John Tester has voted with Biden and Harris over 95% of the time and voted against President Trump when it mattered 100% of the time.
You couldn't ask for a more clear contrast for anybody who's undecided at this point. Senator Steve Daines, to hear from you. I got to hit the hard break here. Stand by. Hey, Brett.
Your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great. Well, Senator Steve Daines is able to stick around with us for just a couple of more minutes here, and I'm glad because before we get to your phone calls, 406-294-0970. By the way, phone lines are open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, we'll get to you here in just a couple of minutes. But I wanted to get his reaction. Jim Messina, you guys remember the name Jim Messina? Jim Messina was Barack Obama's 2012 campaign manager. Jim Messina was also the longtime chief of staff to former Montana Democrat Senator Max Baucus. Listen to what he said on MSNBC about the early voting returns that have already been flowing in these battleground states. And then I want to get Senator Daines' reaction.
The early vote numbers are a little scary, and you and I have been texting back and forth. Republicans didn't do what they did last time. Last time Trump said don't early vote, and so they didn't. Republicans do have an advantage in early vote numbers. When the early vote come in, it's going to look a little bit different than 2020, and that's scary. But when you kind of dig into the numbers that I care the most about are two blocks, women voters and young voters. And those two voting blocks are coming big, Jen. Women voters make up 55% of the early voters. And in the past 10 days, young voters in these battleground states are coming out in what looks to be, for early votes, historic numbers. And that makes the Harris campaign very, very happy. But when you look at some of the early vote numbers, it has led lots of your friends and my friends to call me panicking.
All right. So he says some of his Democrat friends are calling him panicking. Senator Daines, your thoughts. What's your read?
Well, it's nice to hear Jim Messina say the numbers look scary. We like hearing that. Look, the Republicans have done a much better job this election, thanks to President Trump's leadership in telling our voters to get in and vote early. And that is helping us immensely in states like Nevada, in Pennsylvania, and right here in Montana. We've seen a nice increase in our what we call low propensity voters, voters that aren't always voting in every election, Republicans who are showing up and voting early and banking those ballots. And that brings me, I think, to a really important point here. We're 34 hours away from right now to ending this election cycle. That's all the time we have left. We will win in Montana tomorrow if our voters show up. Those election day voters that are waiting to vote until tomorrow, they must show up. There's some forecasts, there's some weather tomorrow, some snow, some blizzards, and I know that's not going to stop Montanans, but I tell you, I just would urge our fellow patriots, if you have your absentee ballot filled out, maybe bring it in today, drop it off today, so we don't risk tomorrow with the weather. And for those who are going to vote tomorrow, make plans because the weather may be a little bit dicey in some of our key rural areas of our great state. We've got to get it done. If we show up tomorrow and vote, we will win this election. The early vote looks promising, but we always win on election day. It comes down to our folks showing up. We've got 34 hours left. The world, the nation is watching Montana. They're watching this key Senate race. President Trump needs Tim Sheehy in the United States Senate. There's one other point I want to make, Aaron, too, and that's these initiatives. I urge my fellow patriots to vote against all three of these initiatives. This is outside money. We want to change the way that Montana elections are run, which would make it difficult for Republicans to win statewide going forward if that 126 initiative passes. Vote against all three. Of course, vote for Swanson and Wilson on the Montana Supreme Court, and we could have a superb night tomorrow night.
The Sons of Montana. All right, Senator Steve Daines, great to hear from you. Thanks for freeing up some time, and we'll see you in Bozeman. Thanks for your time. All great right. to hear from you. Okay.
Thanks, Darren. You betcha.
All right. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. And then, of course, I've got this Donald Trump Jr. interview. I'll share some highlights for you here later this hour or tomorrow on the program as well. Let's sneak in a quick phone call here. We got Ken in the Billings Heights. Ken, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron. You know, I got a thing over here. I don't know if the American people are realizing what's going on in a big way. You know, they look at TV and they watch all these soldiers that are wounded and maimed. People are trying to help them out and everything else. And these countries that are all in shambles and everything else, do they ever think that this can happen right here in the United States of America? I mean, if you had a loved one, a father, a grandfather, or a sister, a brother that fought in this country for his country, gave their blood, their life, their limbs, can you look around and can't you feel what they went through for you and so that you can have what you have? Nobody thinks about that, and this can happen right here in the United States.
And it's not just the crime. It's not just, you know, the Venezuelan prison gang of illegal aliens that are flooding across our southern border, Tren de Aragua, that are taking over, well, just a handful of apartment complexes down in Denver, Colorado, in the Denver suburbs. It's everything. It's not just the migrant crime. It's not just the illegals being housed in fancy hotel rooms. It's the fact that, think about the sacrifice that was made. Just the sacrifice to build these hydropower dams in the Pacific Northwest. And they want to tear down that sacrifice. The men who built this country, it's not just the blood that was spilled on the beaches of Normandy and elsewhere all over this world. It's the sweat and blood too, building those dams. And they want to just tear all that infrastructure out because of their radical Green New Deal agenda. It is absolutely insane what is being torn down here in these last 3.5 years. But I think we got a chance to build it back up and to fight for what remains and to strengthen what remains. Ken, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Next up, joining us in studio, it's great to see Susie Hedlund. She just dropped in to see us, just like you folks are calling in on the phone lines. She popped into the studio. Susie Hedlund is the Republican candidate for Superintendent of Public Instruction. Great to see you, Susie.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Aaron. Yeah, I just got back from traveling from St. Regis to Wevo, heading back to Townsend, and looking forward to seeing my husband and getting together with everyone in Bozeman for election night. It was fun to get out and meet with everyone and just working to get out the vote.
St. Regis to Wevo, that's like driving from Chicago to Boston, practically.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride, and it was incredible just to see the energy and excitement. I got to open for Tim Sheehy at a couple of events, and it's just been such an incredible experience getting to know him and his wife. I'm looking forward to seeing the support come out for him. He's worked hard, and you know, just all the amazing candidates along the way. I've gotten to know Jim Brown, Bowen Greenwood, all these incredible people, and it's been a great experience.
Well, yeah, I know everybody's ready for this election to just be over, as long as it goes in the right direction, because then it's like, oh man, batten down the hatches. But certainly for the candidates. But then, of course, the real work begins on Wednesday. I know we're going to have a live show ready to roll Wednesday morning. That's when the real work begins. What do you think the biggest, if you had to sum up what you've heard on the campaign trail when it comes to Montana schools, if you had to sum it up in one little elevator pitch before you, like if you ran into somebody in the elevator on your way back down from our studios right now, how would you sum up your race or what is the biggest concern for Montana voters with our schools? What would you say?
getting education back to basics, making sure that we're focusing on those foundational skills, teaching cursive like our Constitution is in, making sure we start the day with the Pledge of Allegiance and have, you know, pride in our country, and giving parents a voice and making sure that we're listening to them, you know. And then I have done a bunch of school tours on this trip, and the school administrators just want to make sure that we have less bureaucracy and they can focus on supporting teachers and doing the great work that we really want to be doing, like meeting with families and working with students and being instructional leaders. So I'm excited for all of that great work, making sure we increase opportunities for students. I stopped at, you know, Knife River, DJ's Electric, all different kind of business and industries, because we're building that bridge for students to get out and prepare our workforce. So yeah, all of those things are just really exciting. It's hard to narrow it down to one, like you said, but I think it's really important to, you know, my major goal is to bring that experience and understanding of how unique each of our communities are. And I've worked in our small schools to our large schools, and I'm ready to bring my experience and put a superintendent in the superintendent seat. So I'd be honored to have the votes.
I want to share the thing that stood out to me the most about your race, because I got to hear both you and your opponent. She's a Democrat, State Senator Mazzulla. I want to share one of the things that I thought was the most interesting about this campaign. Can you stick around for a few more minutes?
You bet.
Okay, great, because I've got a call. I want to sneak on another caller here before we get to our next break, and then we'll go one more back and forth here with Susie Hedlund. Let's go to Jack in Big Fork on the phone lines. Jack, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, oh, hi, Aaron. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted the people of Montana to know that a couple years ago I wrote to Tester when we had the big problems with the DOJ and the FBI. And do you think he would answer my letter? No. Never heard. Never got anything from your staff or anything. And another thing I'd like to people to know, I'm a native Montanan from Chinook. I've lived in Montana longer than John Tester, and I watched that phony go through the Montana legislature all the way to the Senate, where he's at now. He hasn't changed a bit. He's still just as phony as you can imagine. I remember my friend, we were in the vets club and watching a news article about John Tester on his farm. And my friend, who's a farmer, started laughing. And I had him whine. He says, John Tester's on the TV trying to put the shovel on that cultivator on backwards. And so that's how phony he is.
I've had a few people point that one out. So you're a sugar beater native living in Big Fork now. Well, great to hear from you. Yeah. And then look at the High Line going dry.
Oh, I understand
that. My goodness.
On the Milk River Project.
He let that thing go dry. And he gave all this money to Ukraine and all these other countries, all this money to these illegal aliens. And he let the High Line go dry. How in the... it's a good thing we got a break here before I use a word I shouldn't use on the radio here. All right, Jack, great to hear from you. We got Jessica in Whitefish, Ron in Belgrade. Phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland. Today, I'm in Fort Worth, Texas, attending Angus Convention 2024. And there is a lot of cautious optimism for both registered and commercial cattle producers attending this year's event. I caught up with CEO of the American Angus Association, Mark McCulley.
There does tend to be a lot of optimism, not ignoring some of the challenges that are out there. Folks across the country, there's lots of challenges still to point to, right? But in general, I think we look at our market and we look at some of the fundamentals in our market. The demand is incredibly strong for our product, our end product. Even at the retail prices that we've put out there, we continue to see great movement of our beef products out there yet. That's translating. Obviously, we're sitting on some pretty low inventories, so that's sitting translating to some really good cattle prices. But for our commercial customers, of course, our seed stock breeders, our registered Angus breeders have continued to enjoy some really strong demand on their good registered Angus seed stock. And so, again, quite a bit of optimism fueled by some margin and some profitability in our business.
Profitability and herd rebuilding, very big topics here at the convention, as it is across the nation. And a lot of uncertainty, though, about when that herd rebuilding will take place. It definitely will, but it is all dependent upon weather and, of course, interest rates as well. Again, I'm at Angus Convention 2024 here in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm Lee Northland.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got several callers on the phone lines here, so we'll make it quick. Again, big thanks to Susie Heaven for dropping by the studios to say hi to us here the day before Election Day. So, Susie Heaven, the thing that I found most interesting, I got to meet both you and your opponent. She's a Democrat state senator out of Missoula, and then hear both of you speak. And she has never even taught in our K through 12 public schools in Montana, which I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily a disqualifier. I mean, I would love it if just an everyday parent could be the head of OPI one day down the road too, right? But, like, that's just fascinating to me because if the tables were reversed, the Democrats would be hammering you for not having any experience in the K through 12 public schools, whereas you have a significant experience. You're on the board of public ed more.
Yes. Thank you. I think that it's really important to have the experience to bring to the table and to understand our communities and schools across Montana. I do the work every day. I know what our challenges are, but I also have solutions I'm really excited to bring to the table. And I think my colleagues understand that. And one of the most exciting things that happened this week, Aaron, was the youth vote came out, and I got 73% of the youth vote, and that means the world to me. I mean, the students see me, they know I'm an advocate for them and their families, and I just want to make a difference for our Montana students and families and, you know, provide the tools that teachers need across the state of Montana. So I understand. I'm ready to get in there and do the great work. I'd be honored to have your votes. And I think it's just really important we make sure everybody gets out to vote.
Well, and in 2020, I went and checked the numbers. The youth vote, the mock youth vote election in 2020, matched what the actual election outcome was. So that could be a very good sign for what's set to come for you. Susie Heaven, thanks for dropping in. Great
thanks
to see you.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. By the way, Eric Moore, former state senator out of Miles City, just sent me a message. He says he worked with Shannon. That's her Democrat opponent. I worked with Shannon on the budget when she was Bullock's education policy advisor. Nice lady. But she is a hardcore liberal ideologue when it comes to education, tenure, unions, collective bargaining, no school choice. She is the Kamala Harris of education. That's from Eric Moore. Eric, thanks for that message. Let's go next into the phone lines. We got Jessica in Whitefish. Jessica, what's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to mention how we listen to you all the time, and we've met you a couple of times, but me and my family voted last week, and then I got three people in another state to vote that they haven't voted in years. So they haven't voted in probably 20 years.
That's great. So, are they in one of those battleground states? Although battleground or not, just get out there and vote. That's great.
Well, in Seattle, that's where they live. So, and then when we met Tim Sheehy, he was saying that he'd like to meet Shady Sheehy.
That is funny. Yeah, when he says
that. He's made. So that was quite funny.
Yeah, that was hilarious when he talks. I heard him say that at a rally in Billings last week, where he says, "Hey, I'd really like to meet this Shady Sheehy guy that they get because man, he's doing way better than I'm doing right now." And
I know, maybe he'd donate to me.
Yeah, pretty funny. Well, you know, that's also a good point that you make up, because Susie Heaven was just talking about the youth vote here in Montana. And when it comes to the youth vote, let's see, our producer Travis did a write-up on our Montana Talks website. Anyway, Tim Sheehy
was the big winner with the youth vote as well, which I find kind of very interesting, A, because in 2020, the youth vote was an accurate predictor back then. Or, well, let me see. What did they say in the Senate race? There wasn't the Senate race. That was 2018. Okay, that's where I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. But the point being is that, think about it. Remember when we talked about this here on the show? And Jessica, thanks for the call. When we talked about it here on the show, the kids are probably getting more inundated with these campaign commercials than you and I are. Why? Because a lot of these kids have tablets, cell phones. They spend a lot more time on electronic devices probably than you and I do. So they have been getting pummeled with these campaign commercials. I remember a while back I was saying how I keep hearing from school teachers and people with kids. In fact, a friend out on the Crow Nation, on the Crow Reservation, told me the same thing out there. The kids are always shady sheehy, shady sheehy. And then some of the kids in the schools, they had to be told, okay, stop calling each other shady sheehy. Stop calling each other Tester the Molester. Okay, let's just stop it, kids. But the question I asked was, because it started to quickly become clear that the more they attacked him and called him shady sheehy, that the more that he did better in the polls. I mean, and I think with the kids, it was like they thought of him as like a cool figure. He was like the real Slim Shady. Anyway, I digress. Let's get back into some more calls here. Let's go to Ron in Belgrade. Ron, what's on your mind?
Yes, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
I just wanted to make comment that I'm sick and tired of hearing about Tester not lying, because he lied to get elected in the first place against Conrad Burns, and then after the fact, after election and he won, then he apologized. And my dad was a Korean vet, and he was pretty angered by all the stuff that's coming out against Tim Sheehy. And then also, my dad was a state legislator and served up there until he was termed out in Helena. And that was right when Tester was coming into the Senate, the state Senate. And he said he was a nice enough guy, but never one to be trusted.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard the same thing. Who was it? Fred Thomas, I think, told me this story, how this was a fascinating story. I'm surprised I forgot to write about this on our website. But I ran into Fred Thomas in Great Falls recently, and he served alongside Tester in the state legislature. And he told a story about how, you know, back in the early 2000s, the legislature got tax simplification accomplished. Basically, it was a tax reduction for Montana taxes, but it was also a tax simplification. And after the Republicans got that across the finish line, the governor, the Republican governor at the time, signed it into law. Afterwards, John Tester told Fred Thomas, he says, you know, I would have voted for that bill. I liked that bill, but because I was in leadership, I couldn't vote for that bill. He is a Democrat because he was in a leadership position in the state Senate, said he couldn't vote for that bill. And the point that Fred Thomas made was that signaled very early on that John Tester would vote against his own voters' interest if it meant being in leadership or appeasing leadership. Very telling conversation now, looking back on these last, what, nearly two decades now, right? Just of his D.C. time alone, let alone his politician time before that. Ron, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's see. Next up, we've got Chris in Columbia Falls. Chris, what's going on?
Yeah, Aaron, you know, you mentioned earlier about Tester and the Western civilization. This is not the civilization that I remember. You know, there are certain things you can't do, you know, in this society. You know, we're in America here. You know, we have a rule of law, and it's at the heart of our system. So, you can't drink and drive. You can't get away with not paying your civil taxes. So, you know, when it comes to 128, you know, abortion stops a heartbeat. That they had their own heartbeat. This is not something we thought was acceptable. What you do, that's what you do, girls. Once you go ahead and do an abortion, So you should not have that kind of power. Had to listen to Kamala yesterday salivating how she's going to support the girls to go and get abortions if they don't want their baby. And so does Tesser agree with that as well, because he said so in his commercials. So, I mean, you should get read the amendments, these initiatives, and go to 128 and read that one as well.
Well, the sad part is you can go read CI 128, and you would think that it's going to do something that it's not going to do. The sad part is they have the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court has put such deceptive language on the ballot, and that's why they forced specific language on the ballot. They want you to think that CI 128 will allow abortion to be illegal, but with some limitations. Because that's where, you know, agree with it or not, that's where most Montanans sit, that's where most Americans sit. They think that there should be a limit somewhere. That's not what CI 128 does. That's not what Kamala Harris and John Tester advocate. They advocate a no-limits, radical view of abortion that even most of your everyday Democrat voters do not share. So it's anyway, Chris, thanks for the call. Back to more calls right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we'll get to more of your phone calls here in just a couple of minutes. We got Willie in the Paradise Valley first up. But first, here's one more chunk of our conversation with Donald Trump Jr. From earlier this morning. I got a nice surprise phone call from Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who is more phony, Kamala Harris or John Tester, because John Tester tries to pretend that he's one of your dad's biggest supporters when it's an election year.
Yeah, as everyone knows, I like my time in Montana. I spend a lot of my free time there. I have a lot of friends there. And when I'm in town, I see these ads, like John Tester basically in a MAGA hat, but he's like 99% voting record with Joe Biden, just so we're clear. So he's one of these people that if Kamala Harris wins or if Donald Trump wins, he's going to vote with the Democrats. He's going to stop my father's agenda. So everyone in Montana has to not just vote for Donald Trump, but they have to also vote for Tim Sheehy in the Senate. We need people who will support that agenda, not people who are going to stymie it. John Tester votes with the Democrats 99% of the time. He's the number one in all of Congress, which is hard to believe. Number one in all of Congress of special interest dollar recipients from, you know, the lobbyists in Washington, D.C. He is not the guy he pretends to be. Maybe he was one day when he started long time ago, but he has become the epitome of the swamp. And Chuck Schumer and the radical leftist Democrats are flooding money into Montana to try to get you to think that he's a moderate. Remember, he votes with the Democrats and Joe Biden and the Kamala Harris regime 99% of the time. Everyone has to vote tomorrow. They have to drag their friends to the polls. They have to vote for my father, and they have to vote straight ticket Republican, because the Democrats' plan is to just have these guys out there stopping my father from doing what needs to be done. Everyone's lived under this nonsense for 4 years. We have a choice, and it's tomorrow. We can save Western civilization, or we can go down the path towards World War III. We can go from cheap groceries, we can have cheap groceries, or we can have World War III. It's not that hard. But when you see the money that's flooding into Montana for Democrats to try to preserve their communist agenda, it's absolutely disgusting. Do not fall for the lies. Do not fall for the psyops. If everyone gets out there and votes for my father, if they vote for Tim Sheehy, if they vote that Republican ticket, we can fix this nonsense once and for all. But we're not going to do it just electing my father and splitting that ticket. That's what the Democrats are hoping for. There's a reason they're doing that in all of these Democrat races. They see what's happening, so they're trying to preserve the Senate so they can stop my father from doing what he needs to do. So get out there, guys. Make sure you vote for my father. Make sure you're voting for Tim Sheehy. Make sure you're voting for all the Republicans on the ticket. school boards, Congress, all of it. We need everyone fighting for that same America First agenda, and we cannot take anything for granted.
All right, there you go. I'll get more audio on our Montana Talks website for you here later this morning. Next up on the phone lines, we've got Willie in the Paradise Valley. Willie, thanks for the call.
Good morning. I heard a good message yesterday I thought was important with the vote coming up tomorrow. Is a lot of these preachers don't want to talk about politics, but we need to be voting along the biblical, not political. And if you are voting for a candidate that aligns not with the Bible and the rest of the good policies like that, then you shouldn't have to worry about how you're going to vote, because if it doesn't go along with what's biblical, the politics don't matter. So that's just an important fact that came out, that a lot of these preachers don't want to say that, but we need to be voting along the lines of, are they in line with biblical principles and policies or not? And if they aren't, then you don't want to vote for them. If they are, well, there you go. But you can take that for what you want. But if our country don't get back on track here, we're going to be in doo-doo. So anyway, I just thought that was important, biblical, not political.
Well, and I also wonder, like, for the people that are undecided and they're not sure, and maybe they are one of those more pro-choice voters. Well, first off, don't you think there should at least be a line somewhere? CI-128, please do research on it. It is such a radical initiative. But second off, even if you're still committed to voting in support of abortion that much, well, you get a chance to vote on it. But for every other thing on your ballot, are you going to vote for lower grocery prices, lower gas prices? Are you going to vote to prevent your daughters from being drafted into World War III under this insane regime back in Washington? I mean, that seems to be at least somewhere where you can be a decided voter, right, Willie?
Exactly right. So, and a lot of these policies we're staring at right now, debt, that's addressed in the Bible. There's a lot of things that's addressed there, whether you believe it or not. But your candidate, if they're totally off whack on the other way, then why would you want to vote for them? And a lot of Christians need to get out and get involved. Vote is a thing that we men and women have died for, and you need to get off your duff and get out there and vote tomorrow if you haven't already.
Well said, Willie. Thanks for the call. By the way, man, Neil in the Flathead, he's got a poem from a great-grandfather who served in France in World War II. Neil, unfortunately, we have less than a minute to go. Neil, here's what I want you to do. Will you call back in during tomorrow's show? We're going to have the phone lines open again tomorrow. I want to hear this poem, and I know our listeners will too. So I don't want to just give you like the final 30 seconds of the show, because I know it would not do it justice. So if you can, Neil, call back tomorrow. Brian Yenis, this is something else I should play maybe tomorrow on tomorrow's show, but who knows? I mean, we had Donald Trump Jr. today, Steve Daines today. Who knows what we'll have for you tomorrow? Brian Yenis interviewed some undecided voters back, I think it was in Pennsylvania, and it was very interesting to hear what they had to say. You could just tell these women did not want to vote for Donald Trump, but they feel they have to because of the weight of the world right now. That was the take I got from it anyway, but I'll play the soundbite for you tomorrow if I think about it. Corey.